Hey everyone, welcome to Scudder Talk. This is Peter Reitzis. Eric Jackson is in the production booth today. For most of this episode, I will be speaking to Rebecca Glass about her experiences with the Speech Easy and stuttering. But first, Scudder Talk recently contacted Wesley Cook. Wesley appeared on The Oprah Winfrey Show and on Good Morning America about his experiences with the Speech Easy device and stuttering. We invited Wesley onto Stutter Talk to talk about where he stands now with the device and with his stuttering. Wesley sent us a lengthy email and gave us permission to read it on air. So first, let's play an edited clip of Wesley appearing on The Oprah Winfrey Show.
Our next story goes to show that big miracles can come in small packages. This little gadget is truly a miracle worker that could change the lives of millions of people around the world. Look at this.
What you're about to witness is difficult to watch. A young man trying desperately to say his own name. It will take him more than 30 seconds.
Wesley Cook.
A groundbreaking new device that would change the lives of stutterers everywhere. They call it the Speech Easy. The device fits into the canal of one ear like a hearing aid. It changes how the stutterer hears his own voice.
This is how the outside world hears my voice.
And this is how I hear my voice.
Miraculously, for 80% of all who stutter, their stuttering stops immediately. With his family by his side, Wesley is anxious to see if his prayers have been heard.
It would be like a miracle to us for it to work.
This is Wesley before.
And I'm
And this is Wesley after the device.
I'm in accounting. I graduate in December. And I would like to go to graduate school the next year and then maybe get a job with a public accounting firm.
I'll find out. Do you think this will make it easier?
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
So that was Wesley appearing on The Oprah Winfrey Show, and now I'm going to read excerpts from an email that Wesley Cook sent Stutter Talk. To read the email in its entirety, go to stuttertalk.com where we will have it posted. Wesley wrote, "As for the Speech Easy, the immediate consequence was quite phenomenal. I remember the day when I received the device. The researchers at East Carolina University asked us to go out and test it. So my parents and I went to the nearby mall and grabbed some lunch, and that was probably the first time I had been able to order food from a counter-type operation on my own. Quite a confidence booster. That success continued for some time. While the initial result was great, for whatever reason, the benefit seemed to subside given time. For instance, in crowded rooms, the external noise seemed to drown out the echo of the speakeasy, lessening the benefit. Additionally, there was a low hum coming out of the device nearly all of the time. At some point, it became almost a chore to continue down that path. I, too, found a decline in the benefit of the device over time. I stopped using it about a year or two following all the events of 2001. Due to the noise issues I mentioned above and a slightly self-conscious attitude towards the appearance of an object in my ear, I just eventually decided to go it alone. Since that time, I was approached by Good Morning America for a follow-up segment, which I declined. For what it's worth, I found that dealing with stuttering has to come from within. There has to be a confidence and a humility." So during her television program, Oprah Winfrey said about the Speech Easy device, and I quote, "This little gadget is truly a miracle worker." But as we heard from Mark Babcock during Stutter Talk episode 192, And as we just heard from Wesley Cook's statement, it appears that the speakeasy, at least for these two young men, is not the miracle worker that Oprah and others have claimed it to be. I hope that Oprah Winfrey and others who have reported and presented the speakeasy as a miracle device will follow up on their stories. This issue, I think, is very similar to weight loss. Short-term weight loss is relatively easy, but keeping the weight off long-term and living a healthy lifestyle is much harder to do. Many people would agree that short-term stuttering reduction is not that difficult to achieve, but making long-term positive changes is much more challenging. Now, on to my discussion with Rebecca Glass. Hey everyone, welcome to Stutter Talk. This is Peter Reitzis. Co-host Eric Jackson is in the production booth today. And I would like to welcome to the show special guest Rebecca Glass. Are you with us, Glass? Are you with us, Rebecca?
Hi.
Hey. Rebecca Glass is a junior at the University of Rochester, majoring in brain cognitive science. Rebecca has worked in labs on and off for the past 5 years regarding language research. Ms. Glass is a 3-season varsity athlete at the University of Rochester running cross country and track. And you've stuttered for as long as you can remember, and you have an older brother who also stutters, right?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Stutter Talk.
Thank you.
So when you were 17 years old, you were featured on the ABC News programs 2020 and Primetime to document receiving and trying out the speakeasy.
Yeah.
Let's listen to an edited clip from your Primetime appearance.
Primetime, Medical Mysteries, continues.
Stuttering. It may be as old as speech itself, so why are we no closer to knowing how to solve it? Or are we?
If you look at this vibrant 17-year-old, you see an outgoing, popular, accomplished athlete, an A student who's on her way to college. But listen to her introduce herself.
Rebecca Glass.
When people would hear you stutter, they would see that as a reflection of how you think, not
some
just
would.
How you think.
Yes, yeah, some would. Some thought that it meant that I wasn't intelligent.
Like many with this condition, Rebecca tried years of speech therapy, but with limited success. What Dr. Kalinowski and a team at East Carolina University have done is find an end run around whatever it is that makes stuttering happen. The device, called a speakeasy, uses the choral effect, repeating the stutterer's own speech. It fits into the canal of one ear like a hearing aid. And when the person speaks, it alters the pitch and then plays the words back milliseconds later.
This is what's called a dry aid kit.
Can a tiny device erase a lifetime of stuttering?
This is a very big moment. What are you feeling there, young lady?
I'm excited. I'm very, very excited.
Rebecca Glass, who stutters, and her family are in the office of speech pathologist Dr. John Haskell. She is about to try the speakeasy. First, Rebecca reads for the doctor to get her baseline measurement.
A Colorado State University microbiologist.
This is your speakeasy.
Now the family holds their breath for the moment of truth. As the device plays Rebecca's own voice back inside her ear a millisecond after she speaks, Rebecca reads again.
Caesar traveled from one farm to another. He convinced the grape pickers in California to join together and strike for better pay and working conditions. He organized the first successful farm workers union in the United States.
Wow.
Hey!
Very good.
That's good.
I'm blown away by how simple that was. Actually, that's amazing.
It is amazing.
Can
you see it? When she was reading this, I knew where she was going to stutter. And I was just waiting, and it didn't happen. Okay, waiting, and it didn't happen. So I didn't realize how I paced myself to it, but that's great. daughter.
Somehow, we don't think Rebecca will ever be speechless again.
So during your appearance, the question was asked, can a tiny device erase a lifetime of stuttering? What is your answer to that?
I would say no, is that once you stutter, it sort of defines how you view the world, and I think I am who I am because of my stutter, and I think a device such as a speech GC can help you through difficult situations, except it in no way changes who you are.
Well, let's go back to the beginning a bit. How did you hear about the Speakeasy, and how did you end up getting the device?
I did research in a lab in high school, and I was researching the effect of exercise on stuttering, and my lab director put me in touch with John Haskell, who set up the whole thing.
And how did you get a Speakeasy device? Did you purchase one?
No, I actually got it for being on the show. That was the deal, that I would help them out, and I get one from them.
Okay. So,
yeah, it was nice.
Since you received the Speakeasy, how has your experience been? I mean, do you still use it? And how is your overall experience with it?
When I was in high school and I got the device, my stutter was a lot worse than it is now. I came to college and thought that I'd use it all of the time, and I no longer be known as the girl who stuttered, and that made me really happy and excited. But then I got to college and just sort of had the revelation that who cares if that's how I'm known, and I'll make friends, and if they care, then they won't be my friend. And I guess when I realized that my stutter was here to stay, and I accepted it, it got 10 times better in college.
Hmm. Yeah, and you said to me in an email that I do not use my Speakeasy that much anymore because I don't find the need to run away from my stutter anymore. Do you think that the Speakeasy was part of running away or avoidance? Do you think it was half good and half bad, or how would you put it?
I think it's a great device if you need it. If you have an interview or a presentation, I still use my speech. You see, for situations like
those. However, for how I am, I don't need it when I'm with my friends because I feel comfortable enough around them, and I guess being in college, I'm around my friends almost all of the time. If my stutter was still as bad as it was in high school, I'm sure I'd use it a lot more often.
So you have found in your own experience that using the Speakeasy at specific times is really how you want to do it. So when when you do use the Speakeasy, what level of stuttering reduction do you achieve?
95%. I still stutter on the first word, like on set of a new sentence, but once I start talking, it's rare that I stutter at all, really.
So it's so the effect of the device has not worn off when you choose to use it?
No. I've heard it can, and I'm not sure if that didn't happen with me because I don't use it every day, or it just didn't happen. I don't know.
Now, when you were on Primetime, the reporter concluded the segment by saying that we don't think that Rebecca will ever be speechless again. And that's really, I mean, that's saying a lot. Do you ever avoid talking or speaking because of the possibility of stuttering?
I hate to say it, but yes. When I go out with friends, I often ask that they'll introduce me because I have a hard time saying my name. I sometimes have a hard time going up to strangers because a lot of times people just don't know what a stutter is, and they act weird or strange, and I stutter a lot worse around people I don't know, so I do avoid those situations, but not totally. I'm still a very social college kid.
That's great. I just want to remind everyone that I'm speaking to Rebecca Glass, a junior at the University of Rochester, about her experiences with the Speakeasy device and appearing on several ABC News programs with that device. And I feel that I'm being very serious now, so feel free to jump in anytime, Rebecca, if you have anything.
It's okay.
You know, it's so interesting because my sister's name is Rebecca.
Yeah.
And I always forget how ingrained those word fears are for me. So still, like for just a second there, I knew I was about to say your name and I knew I was going to stutter on it. And even after all these years, your name still gives me a hard time.
It gives me a hard time too, don't worry.
I'm trying to think back to childhood. I think I would do things like, say things like, my sister's name is Ra-Becca. I'd sort of break it after the Ra.
I stutter a lot on the base, so I can say the Ra, but then once I get to the Becca, I just can't get it out.
You know what? I had the same problem too. And not only that, but my brother dated a girl named Becca.
Wow, they're everywhere.
Yeah, her name was Becca. So just that B, there was no real relief at all.
No.
So looking back at your appearance on 2020 and on Prime Time, do you think it was a good portrayal of stuttering and of the speech easy, or would you change anything about that now?
The only thing that I think was portrayed wrong was my level of stuttering. To begin with, I stuttered a lot worse then, but at the same time, if you're in a room with lights and cameras and an interviewer, I feel as if anyone would stutter. So it was pretty nerve-wracking, and when I saw the tape, I remember saying to my mom, I don't really sound that bad, do I? And even to this day, I hate hearing, like, the clip of me saying my name is just horrible. And I don't think I'm that bad, but besides that, she was completely accurate.
Let me put you just a little bit on the spot here.
Okay, sure.
When I know I've already mentioned this quote, but when somebody on the program would say that we don't think that Rebecca will ever be speechless again, I have to say that when I hear that, in my opinion, that's providing or offering false hope to people. I mean, do you think they went a little too far?
I think they went a little too far because it's just a device that I can take out, and I think they viewed it more as a corrective surgery than an assistive device. Like, someone who can't see can get glasses, but they don't have 20 vision. So it helps, but it's not going to solve all of your problems.
Rebecca, there goes that stutter again. let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk more about your experiences with stuttering and the speech.
Okay.
Friends will be having our 13th annual convention this July 22nd to 24th in Chicago. We encourage you all to come. Alan Rabinowitz will be our keynote speaker. There will be panels of kids who stutter, teens who stutter, parents workshops, sibling workshops. For more information, you can check our website at www.friendswhostutter.org, and the workshops and schedules will be online.
Hi, this is Dr. Jerry Maguire, and you're listening to Stutter Talk.
Welcome back to Stutter Talk. Peter Reitzis here with Rebecca Glass, talking about Rebecca's experiences with stuttering and the speech easy device. Rebecca, some people who are listening to the show might be wondering why you're not using the device now if your stuttering is reduced by 95% when you use the Speakeasy. So can you explain to listeners why you choose not to wear it sometimes?
That's a good question. I was thinking about using it on the show, but then I thought, if you stutter, I stutter, it's called stutter talk, who cares, you know? But I feel like on a regular basis, I don't use it that much because, one, I don't like having something in my ear all of the time, and two, since I've been to college, I've become a lot more comfortable with the fact that I have a stutter.
Now, we recently spoke to Mark Babcock about his experiences with the Speakeasy, and it seemed that his number one problem with the device was the environmental noises. So,
yes.
Picking up, how much of an issue is that for you?
It's a pretty big issue. I can use it if I'm in a quiet setting, but it basically takes everything you hear and plays it back in your ear. So things seem louder and distracting and like in a party situation, you couldn't use it at all, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm thinking of my public school, and it gets so loud in my school that I close the door to my office sometimes just so that my students and I can hear one another.
Yeah.
Are you able to use the Speakeasy in high school or college classrooms?
I use the Speakeasy once I got it for the rest of high school, which was only around a month and a half, but yeah, I was fine. In college classrooms, I honestly don't talk that much because it's a lecture style, but if I wanted to, I'm sure I could.
Now, are you involved with any self-help like the National Stuttering Association or Friends?
No, I'm not. I always wanted to, and I just never really got involved, actually.
So I asked because I'm always curious of people's experiences with the Speakeasy who attend self-help. I mean, there's one person who I may schedule to come on to Stutter Talk to talk about the Speakeasy, and he already told me in an email that people in self-help were very negative about his Speakeasy use.
Interesting. How so?
He didn't say it in these words, but I got the feeling that folks were suggesting he was selling out.
Yeah. I feel as if your stutter affects your life so much that it's making you unable to work or socialize or lead a normal life, then who is to tell you that you can't have that. However, I feel as if trying to pretend that you don't 24/7, 365 isn't going to help you in so long run. And I feel as if once you accept that this is who you are and it's not the end of the world, then your stutter is going to improve on its own.
You've mentioned a few times that, I don't think you used the word confident, but it might be fair to say that since you've been in college, you've been more confident.
Yes, yes.
As a
I've
person.
Gained a lot of self-confidence. And I think that helped a lot.
Where has that come from? Has that come from the speakeasy, from just getting older and out of high school, from your family? Like, what do you attribute this confidence to?
I don't know. I guess I just got to college and looked around and said, wow, no one here knows me, and I just made great friends, and I just became who I wanted to be, and if you're who you want to be, then of course you're going to be confident, and I think that my friends here have helped me a lot. They have always been there for me, and they get it as much as they can without having a stutter. And I think knowing that I have them has helped a lot as well.
How does your family feel about the speakeasy? Has it met their expectations? Have they been disappointed?
My family doesn't really care. And I say that in the most love thing way. Like, I've stuttered my whole life, and my brother used to when he was younger, and they like it because it makes me happy when I can go to an interview and not stress. But when it comes down to it, they don't care if I have a stutter or not, as long as I don't care.
Do you recommend the speakeasy to people who contact you?
Yes, I'd say if you're in a job that you need to be publicly speaking, or if your stutter is really upsetting you or getting in the way of having friends for a significant other, then yeah, because you can't buy happiness, and if it's upsetting you a lot, then go for it. Absolutely. I view the speech cheesy and therapy totally in separate categories. I think that the speech cheesy, although is more successful, it's more of a cover up, while speech therapy also doesn't make me as fluent as a speech cheesy does. It really helped my stutter and helped the core issue a lot more.
Just to be clear, you're saying that the therapy, the speech therapy, or the speech easy helped with your core stuttering?
The speech therapy, because I can use those techniques just being me, while the speech easy is more of the advice that will help ask the issue. It helped a lot. It brought me from being a very, very severe stutterer who couldn't say a word in the third grade to someone who has a moderate stutter. So it helped a lot, but it was never going to make me fluent.
No, when I was a little older than you, there are some things. I know I told you that was my last question.
But, oh no, it's totally fine. it's totally fine.
Yeah, there were some things I knew in my gut I needed to do, and I was sort of getting ready to do them. Things like, I mean, I was a very covert stutterer, so I realized that I was going to have to start stuttering openly, and I was going to have to start talking about stuttering. Are there things you're realizing in college that you need or want to do with your stuttering that you just haven't done yet?
I think I realized those things when I came to college, and that's what helped so much. I realized that I couldn't hide it, and I realized that you had to be open about it, and you couldn't act as if it was a taboo subject, and that once it was out in the open, things got a lot better.
So you're really talking about using a variety of ideas. So you're talking about the speech easy helps you at times, but you also know that you have to be willing to talk openly about stuttering and to face it.
Yeah, and this is why if people don't understand that, or if they have an issue, then I have learned to not really care and just to move on and be friends with who I want to.
Well, hopefully one day I will run into you at one of these stuttering self-help conferences, because I think there's a lot of people at these conferences who would benefit from knowing you, and probably you benefit from knowing them. And I have to ask, are you 21 yet?
I will still be in prompt. I have 4 weeks and I'll be 21.
Good. So that if we do see you over the summer at a stuttering conference, we will be able to buy you a round.
Awesome.
So the first round, when you are of legal age, will be on Stutter Talk.
Sounds great to me.
Yeah. I want to thank you for joining us. And I do want to offer you one last chance. If there's anything you wanted to say that you haven't had the chance yet to share.
When I got to college, I thought that we were mature enough now that I was done with being made fun of, and I was surprised to see that that isn't the case. And that stuff is going to continue for everyone, except you can't let it upset you, and you just have to surround yourself with people who won't do that, and just try and forget the ones that do.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Mark Babcock said also that he, in college, dealt with issues of teasing or discrimination because of his stuttering. And
I was surprised, because I was like, wow, like, you're older and you still are saying things, but that's so okay, you know? You have to accept it, I guess, if you have a stutter.
Well, I've been speaking to Rebecca Glass, and I can't thank you enough for joining us.
Thank you.
And I've neglected to give the Stutter Talk phone number, 206-888-4619, stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com.